everybody, it's me, Kathleen Madigan. Welcome to Madigan's Pubcast. You grab yourself a drink, pull up a bar stool, and let's talk about what's been going on. Termites! It's episode 89. How exciting is that? Oh my God, because I did two kind of back-to-back, so I haven't really been home. Well, here's where I've been since I spoke to you people last. Ridgefield, Connecticut, Wilmington, Delaware, Santa Barbara, Thousand Oaks. Then I flew back to the East Coast for a secret show. And then, boom, to Red Rocks.
Yay!
And who got to go?
Me!
Paddles got to go. It was everything. I don't think I can ever see her again in any other venue. I think it was too great.
It was unbelievable.
Anything else? Like, my sister-in-law is going with a friend. They're going to drive from St. Louis to Indianapolis, and that's doable. But, you know, if you're just in a regular arena after Red Rocks and your favorite Queen Witch is out there, she was amazing, sang every single song. If you're going to buy a ticket, you will not be disappointed. She sang every single song you could think of. No opening act. And getting up to Red Rocks was super easy. Getting down... for 2 days, my calves were twitching. It was crazy trying to find the guy who dropped us off. And I think you have to be a Colorado person. You have to know what the fuck you're doing. Yeah. You could tell who's not from Colorado because we're all just walking around going, my legs hurt. Where's my car? Have you seen a black car? I'm looking for a black car. Oh, my God. And the beer... I'm not a big Coors Light person. It's not my jam. They had a lot of Coors Light. And Stevie's merch, we got shirts. It's not the quality of mine. Yeah. I would just like to shout Queen Stevie out and tell her, hey,
cardboard.
It's not that whole lot more to get the soft ones. She probably doesn't even know there's a merch tent. She probably has no idea. No. There's just children running around with tour buses. And Lindsay had to cancel the rest of his tour because he has COVID.
He's COVID?
Yeah. Lindsay, so Stevie's out there just murdering it. And Lindsay's at home crying in his little bucket. Crying. Too bad, too sad. I'm trying to think if there was anything. Oh, and then I sat to people... from Nashville that live like 40 minutes away. So that was fun. They were very nice. Yeah, I talked to them for a while. And
thank you for taking me.
It was just, it was wonderful. I don't know. Maybe outside, like she went to the Gorge. I've never been there, but I've heard about it. It's up in the Northwest somewhere. Mm-hmm. Never been. Somewhere like that, maybe. Mm-hmm. But like she's going to be at Bonnaroo, but she's headlining that Sunday night. But, you know, she won't do the show I just saw. And then I'm going to be stuck in a mud pit with the children. I couldn't get out of Red Rocks. Trying to get out of Bonnaroo on the Sunday would just be... I'd have to stay an extra week till everybody was gone. And then I'd feel good. Maybe I'll have my friend Brian get a camper. And go, Brian, we're staying until the following Sunday. But Maddie, there's no music from now till then. I know. But we're going to wait till this place is empty. It's just a goddamn cow pasture again. And... we can go up to the gas station and get food. Yeah. It's fine. I can walk. We could stop right at Manchester City exit, get some moonshine. Well, they sell a lot of moonshine at that one gas station.
Yeah.
Flavors. The flavors are really good. And, you know, snacks.
Yeah.
Because I'm now a person in the Progressive commercial that says, how do we get out of here and what time are we leaving? How do I beat this crowd? When you're young, you just don't think about these things.
No,
you just go, and you don't care. And you, I have a flight. I have stuff to do. And I got to see my friend Josh Blue in Denver. Very funny comedian, if you don't know Josh, and his girlfriend, and my friend Mike, who runs a lot of the concert stuff in Denver. And then I'll be back in Denver on June 4th for two shows that we're filming for what? Amazon Prime.
Yep. What was your favorite Stevie song?
My favorite? Oh, my God. Well, I always love when she opens with Outside the Rain, and it almost makes me start crying because it means this is all still happening. It's like a cue that she's not dead or she'll still do it, get out here. And I love Gypsy. It's not probably everybody's favorite. Her Rhiannon little possession dance is pretty good because literally I think she might be the only person that dances as poorly as me. It's not dancing. It's twirling, but at least she thought of that. Like, I don't even think of that. And then she kind of goes into her possession thing. And then at just 17, how do you top that? Like,
Stand Back was good too.
Everybody Loves Dreams. It's never been my favorite. It's fine. But I like so many others so much more. So that was that. If you get a chance, go see Queen Stevie out there, because you don't know. These people are getting older, right, and you don't know. Look at poor Naomi Judd. Yeah. So sad. Yeah. So sad. And the Judds were going to go together. Now Winona's going alone. Or maybe she'll pick up other people to go on the tour with her.
She has to.
I don't know. She could do it herself, but I don't know if she's going to sell as many tickets by herself as she would if Mama was there. Some people want to see the whole package, sure, the Judds.
Yep.
Then other people, like my friend Heidi, who's obsessed with Winona. She's obsessed with Winona. I really can't. I'm not that into that kind of country. So whenever I see any breaking Winona news, I send it immediately to Heidi. I'm like, your idol is doing this.
Holograms.
Well, we're going to talk about the ABBA thing is about to start. Yes, and sadly, when I was getting ready to go to work on the channel Reels, they were doing the ABBA story about the stalker and why the lady quit ABBA, and then the whole thing fell apart, and then I had to go to work before the stalker part, which was really too bad. Yeah, I'm going to have to set my Reels channel on permanent record, all of everything on there, everything. I like everything. But I forgot, what are we drinking? Well, in Ridgefield, Connecticut, my friend Kelly McFarlane, the comedian I talk about, she brought me some Harpoon Mike's Pastry Cannoli Stout.
Nice.
Stout brewed with coconut nibs, vanilla, cannoli gels, and with natural flavors added. It's from Boston and Windsor, Vermont, and it is delicious. But Mike's Pastry. It's really dessert. Yeah, it is not a session beer. You do not take 12 of those out in a boat. You will never come back, because you'll get so fat, the boat will sink. Just drinking that many of them and make the boat sink. That's what we're drinking. Wilmington, Delaware was fun. It's always fun. It's a beautiful theater down there. Santa Barbara, fun. Santa Barbara's nice. It's a tiny theater. People go up on weekends. Thousand Oaks was crazy great. But sadly, I had to leave right after to get on a red eye. I was like the Von Trapps. I had to beat my own crowd out. And I did.
How was that?
I did. It worked fine. Except I left my pants in Santa Barbara for the corporate show. And I had to get an Uber guy to go to the hotel in the closet. Well, the girl that worked at the hotel had seen my show. So she was, because once you leave shit in a hotel, I'm going to tell you it's a 90-10 rule. 90, you're never seeing that shit again.
Right.
10%. And it's always stuff like, I'm like, I know there was my night guard was in the bed. They just threw it out with the sheets. I get it. Maybe they didn't see it, but stuff that you're like, God damn it. But I needed those pants. And I mean, I could have worn jeans, but not really. Everybody was very dressed up. And I got an Uber guy, and he was like, I am your man. I am your man. I will do the job. I will get you the pants. Because there was no time to drive up there and back, and no time the following day to go buy pants. I couldn't even Amazon myself pants. And he did it. He drove from Santa Barbara down to L.A. and found the back of the theater, which is very difficult to find. And he threw them out a window. They were in a bag because I had a shirt, too. My cute silver top I didn't want to lose. He goes, this is your pant. This is your top. Thank you so much. I am your man. I'm like, this guy's like a superhero. Okay, enough of that. Here's some crazy tiny things that just were from the road. So many things backstage. It's hard to keep track. Deb, who's a faithful termite, is also thanking Paddles. And she said, you deserve the best, but I'm on a rhinestone budget. It's just a little golf pin. It's adorable.
Fantastic. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
So thank you, Deb. Oh, I was also in the Ozarks with my mom and dad. We'll talk about that, too, because that's where I went after Denver.
I did not go there.
No. My dad, it's amazing. He has like stitches in his back from they yanked another. He's like, it's like they take an ice cream scoop to him and just dig skin cancers out all over. He's fine. Mm-hmm. But there's 12 stitches there. And then they had put in this heart deal. No big deal, but there's a patch here. It looks like he's been shot in the heart and it came out his back.
Wow.
And I'm like, are you supposed to be casting a fishing pole. We're not going to tell your mother that, right? I'm like, no, okay. No. Thankfully, they don't listen to the podcast, so she won't even know that he absolutely was doing this when he promised to do that. No golf. Sad times for 2 weeks. I'm going to try these. These are honey sriracha kettle chips. These are from Kathleen and Rosemary. I forgot where I was when that one. Probably Connecticut. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, Delaware. Yeah. Yeah. These are two BFFs from Pennsylvania. One that shares your name. Yay, Kathleen. And one that shares your birthday. Oh. What? Me, Rosemary, this lady, Truman Capote. Truman Capote said the funniest thing I think I've ever seen on television. On, it was the Today Show or whatever it was called back then. I was little, but then I saw it on, it's on YouTube. And he goes in, and it's like Jane Pauley, but I'm not sure it was Jane Pauley. It could have been Barbara Walters, one of the serious morning people, when the morning shows weren't wacko, right? They were like serious and serious interviews. He had been at Studio 54 all night and had not been home. And she said, have you been home yet? He goes, for what? I mean, he was clearly shit-faced, and he didn't care. And so she tried to ask him another question. He's like, oh, doll. And he just didn't answer it. And she said, Truman, it's been rumored that you have a problem with alcohol. And he goes, alcohol? Why, that's the least of my problems. I couldn't stop thinking about that for years. So we're going to try the honeys. These are hers kettle chips. So I guess they're from the Northeast. I don't know if I've ever eaten them. Oh, the Pennsylvania ones, yeah. They're good. Oh, they're hot at the end.
Are they sriracha?
Yeah. They're too sweet for me. Well, but I like the chip.
That'd be the honey part.
I just don't, yeah. Right, the honey part.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
The honey part.
Marcy from Ridgefield, Falmouth. Oh, no, she was at the Ridgefield show, Connecticut. She's from Maine. She brought me Stonewall Kitchen. This is bacon ranch dressing.
Oh, nice.
Well, let's see.
That stuff's expensive.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a nice termite then, because they spent money to get it backstage, to me, anyway.
She brought a lot of Stonewall Kitchen.
Well, there was also a dog backstage at Ridgefield. The cutest goddamn little mutt ever belonged to one of the crew guys. And I think I'm going to put that in my rider.
You want it from now on?
At least two crew people have to bring their dogs. Because
yes.
Wouldn't that be fun for them? And then it'd be so much fun for me. That dog was adorable. All right, here we go. Bacon ranch dressing. Gluten-free. Great. If I hate it, I can send it right to my sister. Oh, my God.
Good.
That's insanely good.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Wow. Well, I'm not sending that to my sister. No, I just want to eat the whole damn thing because all I've had is yogurt today. This is spicy mayonnaise dressing. Best Foods, which is generic. But I wanted to try spicy mayonnaise. Oh, it's orange. That's never a good sign.
That's never good.
Well, if you're my mom, it is.
True.
Is that Thousand Island? I love it.
Thousand Island. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
No, I have to clean the palate with the bacon.
A bacon cleanse.
Thousand Oaks. People brought beer. I always write it down. Oh, and the wasabi ranch snaps, which I ate on the red eye.
Yeah,
sometimes termites have no idea. When you're just running around, this, there's just, I don't know.
Snacks are good.
Just free snacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Paula, continue doing the Lord's work. I will, Paula. You keep at it, too. All you termites. And then look at, see, somebody wrote this nice card. Yeah.
Black letters.
I know, black letters. Dawn, a native termite. Heather, a Yankee termite. Jen and Claire, they came to, they're Connecticut termites.
Nice.
Yeah, there was like, oh my God, too, if you live in Connecticut, where's Queen Shaka? I think it's happening in June. So this, the Ridgefield Theater is wonderful, but it's kind of like this hidden deal out in Connecticut where you would think like.
It looks like an asylum.
Well.
I think.
It. the whole place looks like Martha Stewart could live in any of the homes and just pop out, and she'd just be holding a pie for no reason. There'd be steam coming off of it. But they have their own little theater for the people that don't want to drive into the city. Yeah. It's not that big. Right. 600 seats. I mean, usually I'm working 12 or more. 685, mm-hmm. 7. Shaka Khan is going to be there. And I saw the poster, and I said to the one lady that was so nice, it was like in charge of stuff, I said, do you guys have like an outdoor summer deal stage? She said, no. I said, you mean Shaka's going to be right here?
There.
Like, and I'm like pointing at the stage that's not very big. She said, yeah. I mean, if I lived anywhere in the area, I would trample people to see Shaka in a thing that small. I mean, that's just, every once in a while you see crazy shit and you're like, I even thought about flying back. Well, no.
You can go with Ken and Laura.
Yeah, my friends Ken and Laura are there. Laura would probably want to go.
Yeah.
Ken might be off. Okay, let's get at it then. That's where we've been. The Ozarks was fun. In 2 hours, me and my dad caught 31 fish.
Shut up.
We have secret lakes.
What?
We're not even on the main lake of the Ozarks. I mean, we could be, but he chooses these. He has secret lakes. They're called inner lakes. And nobody's on them. And he has a two-man boat. From Bass Pro. It's just like a fiberglass deal. You put a trolling motor on it, and they're just loaded with bass and bluegill.
How many?
31 in 2 hours. Yeah. He goes about 2 hours, and then his lower back hurts. Mine did too, though. I said, that's not because you're old. It's because we don't have seats, Dad.
Right.
We got to get the fancy thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Great.
Anyway. Okay. We have Queen news besides Stevie and Shaka. Dolly will now accept her Hall of Fame if she's going to accept it.
Oh, good.
She's on the ballot, despite a statement said last month that requesting her nomination would be withdrawn. Previously, in a bid to remove herself, she said she explained she didn't feel she'd earned the right to be considered despite being extremely grateful and flattered. Flattered and grateful. I agreed with her. I still agree that there's a million people going in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It should be the Music Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know. I would feel stupid if they said it's the Improv Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. and then I'm like, well, I don't really do that. Right. I shouldn't be in that group. She did say the nomination inspired her to do a rock album, so maybe Dolly will. Then they said, from its inception, rock and roll has had deep roots and roots in rhythm and blues and country music. It is not defined by one genre, rather than a sound that moves youth culture.
Nice.
That's what they're saying. She's staying on the ballot. She can't get off of it anyway. Dolly said she misunderstood the scope. I guess I did too. Yeah, I don't.
Wait,
anyway.
You're not coming? Well, then we're gonna change.
Well, that's the other thing too, because they want the stars to come,
right.
And it's always a great show. I try to remember to record it. It's a good one. Also, how crazy is this? Dolly will be starring in a TikTok musical about Taco Bell's Mexican pizza that will premiere later this month. Yes.
Awesome.
Really.
Oh, yeah.
The country music icon shared the news about her leading role in the Mexican pizza the music on social media on Monday morning. I'm making the hashtag Mexican pizza the musical with Taco Bell, she wrote in an Instagram post, which contained a photo of the screenplay. There's a whole screenplay.
No way.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The satirical music is based on the story of the internet losing its mind after the fast food chain removed the product from its menu in late 2020, according to the screenplay shared on Barton's. Yeah, there's a whole script. It's inspired TikTok star Victor Kunda's viral video in March parodying with a dress rehearsal of what the music would look like based on singer Doja Cat's catchy jingle shared on the social media app the same month. So I guess she's doing it with Doja Cat. Yeah, she got real upset when they took it off the menu. Musicals, I would die if they took off the soft tacos. I would absolutely die.
It's a staple.
It is a staple. Musicals on TikTok, I didn't even know we had these. First emerged in 2020 with composer and orchestra Daniel So-and-So, Ratatouille the musical. Ratatouille?
Ratatouille. Yeah, it's a mouse.
It's a mouse, yes. I remember that somehow. It began as a TikTok meme. And then they partnered up with some other thing. This one, Dolly's, will be released at 8 o'clock Central on May 26th, a week after the Mexican pizza returns to the menu.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, it's good they're bringing it back.
Yep.
The Mexican pizza, don't get it if you're driving. That's all I can say. But if you have, it's a mess. It's a mess. It's like the hard taco. There's shells falling everywhere. Yeah. You got to, if you're driving, you got to get the right things. Update. Netflix has canceled Meghan Markle's planned kitty cartoon series.
Hey.
Remember, $150 million.
It's ridiculous.
And
she still gets the money.
What? Oh, they got the money. Yeah. But this is telling you where Netflix, I'm telling you, these two so far have not produced anything. They have a pitch for this show. I read it. It's written well. The pitch, whoever wrote it, wrote it. But animation is the most expensive thing out there to produce. People don't know that. I would have never known that, except like Lewis was in that
Inside Out,
right? So I learned all these things because of that. And I went to the premiere. I'm like, Lewis, I hate animation. And I hate premieres. I don't want anything to do with any of this. I don't care about animation. And I don't care about any kind of red carpet. He goes, it's not a red carpet, Kathleen. It's a purple carpet for children. Oh, I said, oh, so then we go, and I swear to God, I've never been to one in my life. Well, unless it was involving Lewis, now that I think about it, but I started walking down. It was abnormally hot in LA. It was like 100, and we had on nice clothes because he had on like a suit jacket, a sport coat, all this stuff. Well, first of all, there was this little fat Mexican kid that made me laugh so hard because he saw Lou, and Lou was the part of anger, and the kid goes, Lewis, I need your signature, but he was going crazy. Like, oh my God, he's really angry. He looked like there was steam that was going to come out of his head. I'm like, Lewis, go over there and sign that kid's stuff. He's like, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't see him, he's really short. I'm like, yeah, they're children, Lou.
He's 5.
He's probably he's my height. He's not that short. But I got so hot, and then there were kids everywhere. It was fun. But at the very end, I saw a bar, and I just abandoned Lewis.
Bye.
Yep. Bye. Bye, 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 bye. Like the guy in WeWork says, bye, 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 bye. Because he turned around, and I was gone, and there's just these kids going, I love anger, Mr. Black. Anyway, animation costs a shit ton of money. So even though they've paid them $150 million, they're not going to go through with the show because it's just another added expense that they're going to have to pay for.
Right.
And, you know, they did cancel other things. Other animation things. It's not just hers. But this is why, who's running this place? They axed the Renegade Royals' expected upcoming animated series because of budget cuts and plummeting subscriber subscriptions. It's not plummeting. They never had them. Oh, this is such a mess with these people. And one of my specials is on there. I should probably shut up.
Yep.
We'll edit that up. The series was supposed to revolve around a 12-year-old girl on a journey of self-discovery inspired by the legacy of famous women from history. What? The executive producer on the series, which was being created through Markle's and hubby Prince Harry's Archwell Productions, was Elton John's husband, David Furnish. How strange. Several other planned Netflix has got the kibosh too. Given the streaming giant's money woes, the magazine said. The company had lost nearly half its value since warning in January that its subscribers were jumping ship. Well, there's your royal update. That's all I got for you.
Great.
Moving on. What are you going to do now? You know what? She should be relieved that they didn't do this. Well, I don't know how much she would have work she'd have to do, but if you did, it is the slowest, painstakingly boring, if you're not into it. She kind of got let off a hook and doesn't even realize it. So
she would somehow try to include herself.
The character is modeled after her. Yeah. Here's what I was thinking about when I was 12. I wasn't thinking about my journey of self-discovery and famous women in history that had made me feel a journey. I was thinking about, I wonder if I can make 15 out of 15 free throws and get my ass to Kansas City. And then if I do make those free throws and become the Mid-Missouri champion, where will I move on to next? Yeah, I was bouncing a basketball at 4'5" repeatedly in a driveway with an Irish setter. Okay, update. Oh, Fiji, my favorite water, seizes Russian oligarch's $325 million yacht at the U.S. request. This is great. There's rumors now, too, that the oligarchs are saying there's going to be a coup.
Really?
Well, I think once you come and your actions have allowed people to steal my boat, my house, they're going to get pissed.
Yeah.
They said by summer. But then there's also the rumor, which I have been saying to our minds, fire! Is he sick? Is he ill? Is Putin, is this just one last final hurrah because he knows he's sick? Well, there's an oligarch on tape saying that he has blood cancer. I do not know what kind. I do not know what that actually means, but that he is very ill. That's what the guy said with blood. So now you've got a potential madman because he doesn't care. So, but in my obsession with these yachts and how people, I still want to know if somebody can get on my boat on Lake of the Ozarks or Old Hickory Lake and just take my boat, ma'am. And where do I go?
Right.
Jump, swim home.
Yeah.
I guess. It's the 348 Amadea, owned by Suleiman Karamov, an alleged money launderer sanctioned by the U.S. in 2018, is one of several oligarchs who profited from the Kremlin through corruption. Well, that's how they all got their money. I mean, he's no different. I was going to tell you. The yacht, I always say how much for the gas. How much to fill her up, right? It has an annual running cost between 25 and 30 million.
Uh-huh.
Just to run it.
30 million?
Between 25 and 30.
Wow.
This guy, Karamov, is a former economist and politician whose net worth is 14 billion.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but that's going to get cut up. That's going to go away pretty fast if every year you owe 30 million just to keep this yacht from not rotting. Like,
sure.
People got to clean it. It needs a staff.
Yep.
30 million. I don't know how long it would take. They believe the U.S. officials, attorneys contended he didn't own the super yacht, but U.S. officials believe he owned the ship since 2021. The ship was headed to the Philippines.
Wow.
Authorities believe its actual intended destination was Russian waters where the luxury vessel could avoid U.S. seizure. It's humongous. There's pictures of it. Wow. Well, then the question is, where does it go? Then the question is, who's going to pay to maintain it? Or do you not? Do you just let it sit there and rot? Because if you're not going to keep paying the staff and somebody's got to get it every morning, you got to get it, wash the bird crap off of it, keep it clean, little buckets, sponges, get the bugs off.
Right.
Come on, like you have to do it. Thankfully, you don't have to cover it.
Fill up the cooler.
Fill up the coolers. Get the coddles of beer, the canned bottles, so the wind doesn't take the flavor out of your beer. And another one, a $700 million super yacht is seized, linked to Putin, is seized in Italy.
Wow.
$700 million.
Yep,
it was good for the Italians. The government ordered to seize a luxurious six decks. Wow.
Six decks.
22 cabins, a full spa, an indoor pool that doubles as a dance floor. Well, who doesn't have that? Yeah, so they got that one. So I'm just keeping you guys updated. We are collecting yachts.
Yeah.
But who's paying for it now? Who? Whoever seized it? So if you're Italy, do you want a $30 million tab you got to pay for some?
Well, you seize it, then I wonder who takes over. Like Interpol?
Maybe you have a yard sale.
Yeah,
but here's the question. Where's the trailer for that boat? Who's got that in their backyard? Anybody have a 328-foot long trailer? Be very hard to drive. Obviously, they do not have trailers, but I think it's funny. Oh, my God, we have an update on Anna.
Yeah.
Anna. Everybody knows Anna from... What was the name of the show on Netflix? I already forgot.
Inventing Anna,
right. Anna Sorokin. She slams Jada Pinkett Smith and Red Table Talk for having Karen in Chief. Get it? Karen in Chief. Rachel Williams appear on an upcoming episode. But Paddles hates Rachel more than Anna.
I do.
Because you think she knew exactly what she was doing and she went along.
Yeah.
Well, I think you got to be some kind of hot idiot to go somewhere just because the Kardashians went
to
Morocco, which I don't even know how safe that would be. Just a bunch of girls. I may have been a guy that went with them. I don't know. But, the photographer. She went along for the ride and then started paying stuff because she believed her. Well, that's on you.
She proposed it. How about we go here?
Oh, did she? I forgot that part.
I hate her.
Anyway, Anna, I don't even know what Red Table Talk is, and I don't know what Jada Pinkett Smith does. Because I'm now just a walking progressive ad. She's the notorious scammer, Anna, who was recently focused on Netflix and invented, took to her Instagram stories to criticize the show and its guest. And then she put Jada Pinkett Smith, is having trauma porn star. Rachel, Karen in chief on the upcoming trauma and healing of her at Red Table Talk. Just making sure she doesn't forget to invite Chris Rock. I don't get that. The comment about Rock, who was receiving receiving end of now infamous slap from Pinkett. Okay, I get it. It was in reference to the theme of the upcoming episode featuring Williams, which will reportedly focus on trauma and healing. Representatives for Red Table Talk didn't respond immediately. This isn't the first time Sorokin and Williams have sparred. I guess when you're in detention and ICE, do you get your phone?
Yeah.
Or is she having friends do this?
She's probably doing it herself.
Oh, it was a 7-part thing on Instagram stories.
You're in detention. You're not arrested.
Right, but you're being held.
Yeah. We'll put the show notes.
All right, we'll find out. She accused William of shamelessly exploiting their past friendship and even called her a Karen. I've been silent about this for years. However, the past 2 weeks, watching Rachel stubbornly refuse to move on from her contrived trauma.
I love it.
Even brazen and unchecked while going on every show that will have her. I thought, now I have to. And if I have to, I will. In other words, she'll trash her in public.
Totally.
She's still there. She has new lawyers. Yeah. Maybe I need to know what Jada Pinkett Smith. I don't care.
No.
Nobody cares. Is it a real show? Is it on TV? Or is it something on it, like Instagram or something? Red Table Talk.
Sounds stupid. Yeah, talk show. Yeah.
It's a talk show on television?
There's 5 seasons of it.
Oh, Jesus. 5 seasons. I'm really far behind.
Yeah. Smith was on one. Was it?
Oh.
The most Googled thing. What's the deal with Red Table Talk?
What's the deal? That's the most Googled thing. What's the deal with Red Table Talk? Speaking of.
It's on Facebook Watch.
Oh, it's on Facebook Watch. Okay. Well, that's like when I was on Comedians with Cars with Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah. And back then it was on some website called Crackle.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't on Netflix at the time. And he goes, Kathleen, do you have to drag that giant purse with you everywhere we're walking? I go, yes. He goes, well, we're on TV. I go, not really, Jerry. We're on the internet. We're not. And everything I owned was in that purse. My computer, like, it's my road bag. I can't. And he wanted me to leave it in some car parked on Santa Monica Boulevard. What am I, an idiot?
There's probably somebody that
could have
watched it for you.
No, all of the helper people... They guard him. They don't care about my stuff.
Right,
I'm just the lady.
Fight or flight.
I went into survival mode. I'm keeping my purse. But
it's Jada Pinkett Smith, her daughter Willow, and her mother.
It's Jada Pinkett Smith's mother and her daughter Willow.
Mm-hmm. Good time.
Well, I've never heard of it.
Nope. 107 episodes.
Here's an update. Spirit. I love. Okay. All of these airlines to me are just like homeless people fighting with their shopping carts.
Didn't you say Ron flew Spirit?
Ron flew Spirit. He flew it here. He's up there golfing at a tournament right now. Yes.
Why?
Because it's direct from his mother's house, from Orlando or wherever,
right
wherever his mom. I just don't trust them. So Spirit, I love it when they're getting snotty and you guys are the lower rung. Like the top rung is like Delta, United, yeah. American. You guys, then there's a whole other category of, I'd even put Southwest in its own little special category, but then the Spirits, the Jet Blues, the Frontiers, mm-hmm. although I do love Frontier, the animals on the wings. I get so excited when I get the Red Fox.
What?
Yeah.
That's the weirdest thing.
It makes me feel like it's a lucky flight.
The Red Fox.
Yeah, like there's a hare on the wing, tail of one. It's okay. Hmm. The bear, standard. I've flown Frontier a lot when I'm in the West. Like Denver is a big hub for them. When I'm out in the West. when I'm in the West in my pioneer mode.
I'm
padding for gold. Hunting bison. Spirit Airlines is going to stick with its deal with Frontier Airlines, rejecting a more lucrative offer from JetBlue. Mm-hmm. The airline says it doesn't believe regulators would allow JetBlue to buy Spirit. This is just a shit show. You're all going to merge into what? A giant thing of...
Yeah.
Oh, what's the one too, though? Allegiant. Mm-hmm. It took my mom and dad one time, I kid you not, about 18 hours to get from Florida to St. Louis. I told them not to fly Allegiant. I'm like, Mom, there's no contingency plans. I don't have any status on... You don't have any status. So... You're just another
Nobody
Joe Blow.
Has
Nobody has status. No. Well, the tickets are only $42. Okay, well, guess what I have? $250. So I'll buy your guys' ticket, and you're going to get on a real goddamn airline and act like you're not a teenager going on spring break with $42. Come on. But it's because they don't have, people don't know all this stuff, but like some of the higher, fancier airlines have more gate access. They have more gates. Mm-hmm. They have runway privileges and all this crap. So, like, you could get to your thing and Spirit's only paid for two gates and there's 18 Spirit planes waiting to get in those gates.
Right.
Yeah, shit like that. But anyway.
Bring your own soda.
JetBlue announced it was offering Spirit a $200 million breakup if the deal is not completed. So they're saying, we'll give you $200 million if it doesn't go through. Yes. They said no. They're not doing it. They're going with Frontier. But I think that's a downgrade for Frontier.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are there any pilots, any flight attendants that work? What do you guys think? Because I only know is from a customer's standpoint.
Right.
I also don't like even walking by the check-in thing of Spirit. It's too yellow. I don't. It's so crazy bright. Like, it doesn't look serious. And we're flying. It should look kind of serious.
Right.
Like, update. We have an update on one of our traders. A retired New York City cop convicted of assaulting a police officer in the January 6th Capitol riot. Our traders, all their chickens are coming home to roost. Mm-hmm. Thomas Webster, 56, of Goshen, New York, is a Marine veteran, 20-year retired New York cop who served in the then Mayor Mike Bloomberg security detail. He was the second former police officer to face trial in the attack. He was charged with assaulting police officer Noah Rathbun, and he was recorded pushing a bicycle rack into police officers with skirmishes outside the Capitol and then swinging a Marine Corps flagpole he was carrying at the cop. Then he tackled him. Oh, my God. He had 6 charges against him. Yep. He was wearing a bulletproof vest. I mean, you thought shit was going down. You don't wear those for fun. They're hot.
You were hoping.
I think some of them were hoping there'd be a big thing and it'd be part of some crazy shit. He testified that he thought Rathbun was a rogue cop who struck him. Yeah, because we know there's so many just rogue cops running around. He's gone rogue, he testified about his thinking. He's acting in a manner unlike the other police officers, and I'm concerned for my safety. Oh, so he's judging them all because was a cop.
Right.
God.
You're nearsighted.
He said he testified he started choking the cop after the cop grabbed his gas mask and a chin strap was pressed against his throat. That's not a position anyone wants to be in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He was convicted April 6th of 6 charges, including felonies. I don't know what his punishment is, but that's another traitor caught. And that's our little Oh, what was my favorite? America's Most Wanted. We've caught another traitor.
Wonderful.
Why? What have we learned? Don't go to government coups that are being filmed.
Right.
If you all don't want to get caught. Oh, we got update. ABBA's virtual concerts could change the face of live music. The avatars are coming. We talked about this a long time ago, that in case you'd missed that episode, ABBA has created, this is so like Sweden to me. They're always so progressive, like with futuristic shit, like the way they do their waterworks and all, but anyway, they've created this giant venue, and it says ABBA in giant lights on the outside. Now, I don't know. Here's my question, though. I am an older termite. I like ABBA, but are the children going? Are you going to count on a bunch of 40 and 50 somethings, 60, 40, 50, 60 people to show up for this? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think you have to have some people under that to pay for this. It's not like saying, here's Stevie comes out. Stevie, there's a ticket sales. Here's your money. This is an investment. Your own enormous venue.
I think the children would come. Like, not to Apple, but if like Taylor Swift or Justin Bieber did it.
If Taylor Swift did. Right, but those two guys in ABBA are like futuristic, crazy people too.
Yeah.
Like they're like, but unlike Elon Musk, they do good things. They make Mamma Mia. I mean, what else do you
Elon
want?
Elon
has not screwed up Twitter yet.
Right.
No, now he's saying he might not buy it. Then I read all these things about him I'm going to do on the next podcast because now I know why people hate him. I was not aware of many of the things. I just don't have that kind of time in my day to find out what's wrong with Elon Musk. But he's done some things. But really, reading the whole list, I don't know. I think there's something better you could do with 44 billion fucking dollars. Like somebody put on my Twitter feed, I think, imagine what Dolly would do if she had that money. Oh, and she just opened up the Imagination Library too. Now for the refugee kids in London, they all get free books till they're five.
See, she's amazing.
Amazing. All right. It's time to dust off your flares, put on those platform boots and grow your facial hair and get your hair feathered because SOS ABBA are back. Not only have the group reformed to release their first album in 40 years, but for the first time since disbanding, they will perform live again. Well, sort of. But so my friend Loreen was going to go see the Whitney Houston hologram deal
in Vegas,
but then it didn't even, she got a notification that it wasn't happening.
Right.
I guess it was happening somewhere else too close. That didn't sound right to me. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's what she read, but I don't, well, whoever put that announcement out. But then I did know somebody that went to see it and said it wasn't very good. It's like they just took Whitney's headshot and put it on an animatronic thing.
Oh.
So it wasn't perfected. The hologram didn't look. It was kind of creepy.
Looked like a bobblehead.
Well, also, like yeah, it's the bobblehead of Whitney. Here's my other question, though. Does this mean, like, so comedians, we have to compete and fight for these venues that are, you know, 1,500 to 3,500 seat venues. But now am I going to have to compete with people that have already retired and or are dead?
Possibly.
Right.
Yeah.
I always joke that Vince Gill and Amy Grant, they get every night at the Ryman. They've done it. They're doing a residency now. They get all of December. That's fine. But eventually Vince and Amy will quit or die as time goes on. And then someone else should be able to get that.
Right.
So you let the children move up.
Mm-hmm.
Us old people fall back.
Yep.
But if our avatars keep going, I don't know. I mean, at least ABBA built their own venue. I give them credit for that. They're not going to be there. The Voyage show, it's called Voyage, is no normal show. It's this so-called immersive digital concert experience. Now, after seeing the Van Gogh immersive, if you could do that with music and ABBA, I would go. But again, you know.
We didn't talk about Frida.
Well, I did go to the Frida immersive one in L.A. I didn't love it.
No.
Too much Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of Diego. And then they didn't do like with Van Gogh's paintings, and it's the same group doing it, but Van Gogh's paintings like moved, like hers moved. The walls at the Frida one, I felt like I was looking at a wall that had a projection of a painting. The Van Gogh one, I felt like I was in the painting.
Right.
It's just a different.
That's too bad.
It is too bad because I love Frida.
Yeah.
And there were so many things I didn't see that I know exist. I don't understand. I don't know. I felt like that one that got rushed or something. Like they went, yeah, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the, yeah.
We'll put some videos up on your stuff.
Yeah, I forgot to post the videos. I don't think I did. I was crazy that week. It was a lot of running and driving and flying and finding pants in other cities. So it's an immersive digital concert experience. For more than 2 years, the band, as well as a bunch of tech wizards at a visual effects company founded by Star Wars creator George Lucas, have been beavering away to create a unique live music experience. Rather than have the band appear, each member, who are now in their late 60s or 70s, ABBA Voyage will feature them as they were in their prime. The group will be digitally recreated to mirror their appearance back then when they stormed Eurovision and kickstarted a 50-year... I didn't know that's how they got famous. I'm going to go Google that.
Eurovision?
No, I know what Eurovision is, but what did... Was there like a contest back then or something?
I don't know. Probably.
They've sold more than 400 million records.
Wow.
The avatars, get it, are not CGI holograms, which have been agitating the live music business since Tupac Shakur appeared in Coachella in 2012, 15 years after his murder. Since then, the technology has been used to bring Michael Jackson back for the 2014 Billboard, and most recently, Roy Orbison. Oh, I did not. And Whitney Houston graced the stage after their deaths. A lot of people have met this idea with a mixture of wonder and revulsion. Before now, oh, Prince called them the most demonic thing imaginable, and I am not a demon.
So we're not
going to
see
one
Prince.
No, we're not going to see one Prince. Not if he has anything to say about it, but he's not here. So it depends on who's in charge of Prince's stuff.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think they're demons.
No.
I don't have a problem with it, but none of these hologram things have had the artists involve themselves, but these guys did.
Yeah.
They went down there and they put all the tools on them. They spent 5 weeks, oh my God, being filmed by 160 cameras for motion capture as they perform the songs that will make up the 96-minute runtime. I wonder if there's an opener. A baby tar. Not an avatar, a baby tar. A baby tar. It's got basic choreography. I would pay to go see this.
Me too.
Welsh says another reason the hologram shows weren't right for ABBA is the technology wasn't up to scratch. They felt very robotic and digital. They weren't quite believable, and technology was limiting. Holograms limit the light you can use. Oh, this guy's a techie. Oh, he said, I think the Whitney Houston show was a good example of that. To put someone else's head on a body and make it a 3D image is not enough. Right.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
Especially when it's singing.
So I want somebody to go.
Okay.
Yeah, it starts, it opens on May 20th. Oh, it opens on May 27th at the Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park. Yeah. I think they built this venue. I think I remember that from last time. Do we have any termites in England? Can somebody go and then tell me on the Instagram or the YouTube or however?
Anybody got a cousin?
Anybody got a cousin? Or maybe we'll get shots of it. Maybe they let you film it inside. And on May 28th, I will Google it.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit, they found it. Texas woman buys a 2,000-year-old sculpture for $34.99 at Goodwill. Yep. The marble sculpture, which dates from the late 1st century BC to the early 1st century AD, disappeared from Germany after World War II and once belonged to a king.
What?
Yep. An art collector in Austin, Texas hit the jackpot. Now, see, I would see something like that at Goodwill and just assume it was just fake, like a prop or no. I mean, unless there was something where I'm like, hey, that looks a lot like my dad. Like, I'm not going to buy it just. He's an okay-looking guy. I mean, nothing special. He's got good hair.
Buy him because he's cute.
Well, I mean, why else would you buy him if you don't know him? It was under the table at a thrift shop back in 2018. She got it for $35. At the time, she thought the old and worn sculpture was a good find, but she had no idea it was an ancient piece of art with a mysterious background. She spent years trying to determine the sculpture's authenticity and origin. She met with experts at University of Texas and contacted auction houses around the country. One of them confirmed it was an ancient Roman artwork, but it was Sotheby's consultant so-and-so who determined that it dates from the 1st century BC to the early 1st century AD. 2,000 pieces once belonged to the collection of King Ludwig of Bavaria. That was later confirmed by art experts. They don't know how it got back to Austin. I would imagine a World War II person grabbed it, brought it home. But boy, how do you check that? Are you carrying that in your backpack? If I'm a soldier, I'm tired. I want to go home. I don't want to be dragging some guy, some concrete bust of some person I don't know. Good for that person. Holy shit, they found it. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. A 1,700-year-old sandal found on a remote mountain in Norway.
What?
Yep. The discovery of an Iron Age sandal on an icy Norwegian mountain provides more evidence that the mountain served as a travel route about 1,700 years ago. And then I thought, is this the same mountain where they found that guy's weapon?
Same guy.
Right. Yeah. And maybe it's the same guy. He probably lost his shoe mm-hmm. and his weapon. Yep. That was a bad trip for that guy. Yep. He had to walk down the hill mm-hmm. without a knife.
Hopping
on one foot so he didn't get frostbite. Mm-hmm. A mountain hiker found the sandal in an area known as Horse Ice Patch in late August. The hiker contacted researchers at the Secrets of the Ice who study archaeology preserved within glaciers and ice patches. He sent us the GOP coordinates and photos and left the discovery in the ice. Good boy.
Yeah.
Because I'd be that redneck that's sitting there, get it out, banging on shit, and then I'd ruin it. It's a crazy looking thing, too. It almost looks like a snowshoe more than a sandal. They must have known what they were getting into. They radiocarbon dated the footwear to about 300 AD.
Wow.
How crazy is that? They've also found other artifacts in the area, such as textiles, but none are as old as the sandal. The sandal and other finds, such as frozen horse manure that dates back to the Viking Age, show that a route across the icy mountain inland in Norway was, and it went to the coast. I believe the people who walked these routes most likely knew what they were doing. They would have worn something inside the shoe to make it work, perhaps scraps of fabric or animal skin. Yeah, fur. Fur
yeah.
sandals.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's my friend Kathy calling. So there you go. That's a good holy shit they found it. I like it. It's good. Good that that. How smart is that guy? Let me give you the GPS of coordinates. Oh, I don't know where the fuck I am. I'm in a mountain. I don't know. It looks like The Sound of Music. I don't know. When you see Julie Andrews, go left and then look in an ice patch. Well, it used to be an ice patch.
Put on your curtain clothes.
Okay, now this is crazy. Because I have two competing stories.
Okay.
So the lady in Japan died, the oldest lady in the world.
Yep.
Making the next oldest person in the world a French nun who enjoys chocolate and wine.
Wonderful.
Proving I don't even need the chocolate, but the wine, yes.
Yeah.
She's 118 years old. She lives in a nursing home in southern France. Said she's become the oldest living person according to the Guinness World Records.
Oh,
Sister Andrea is also the oldest nun ever, according to a statement by Guinness World Book of Records. Born as Lucille Randon on February 11th, 1904, also the year my grandpa was born. He is not alive, so he can't be in this contest. She's dedicated most of her life to being a nun. Before becoming a nun, she looked after children in World War II, then spent 28 years caring for orphans and elderly people at a hospital. She has mixed feelings about becoming the oldest living person. I feel I would be better off in heaven, but the good Lord doesn't want me yet. She expressed her joy at being pampered by her family. She likes chocolate and wine, drinks a glass every day. See? Because sometimes they tell us, you should drink a glass of red wine every day if you like one. And then other days they go, no, just no, if you're doing that every night. You know, well, I'm going to believe this lady. She received a handwritten birthday note from French President Macron, Emmanuel Macron, the 18th president. That's the 18th president of her lifetime.
Wow.
There have been 10 different popes since she was born. She became the oldest world person following the death of who? Kane Tanaka, the Japanese lady who was 119.
Who was going to carry the torch?
And she died. She was going to carry the torch, right. But then, so the old title of the oldest person ever recorded belongs to a French woman. Born in 1875, Jean-Louise Calment, her life spanned 122 years and 164 days. That's the Guinness World Book of Records. But then, the New York Post says there's a 121-year-old that could be the world's oldest person. Yes, and this story came out right after the nun deal.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Officials in a Brazilian town may have found the oldest person in the world. Maria Gomez dos Reis was reportedly born... I know, I didn't say any of that right.
Dos Reis.
I can't do my Spanish. She was reportedly born in a village of Bela Vista in Brazil on June 16th, 1900.
Wow.
That would make her 121.
Wow.
A mobile team was sent to her home to assist when they found a birth certificate apparently verifying her miraculously old age. She has 13 grandchildren, 6 great-grandchildren. She may even live long enough to see a fifth generation as another baby is allegedly on the way. She lives in her hometown with her granddaughter, Celia Gomes, who takes care of her and shared that her grandmother continued doing cooking, laundry, and attending mass until 8 years ago.
Wow. That's awesome.
Now, according to Guinness World Records, here we go, the oldest person in the world is 118-year-old French nun Lucille Randon, who was born at... In order for Maria to officially be recognized as the oldest, her family would need to pay 4,000 Brazilian reals, about $800, and provide legal documentation confirming her age. They're not going to do that.
No.
Why don't you just believe the birth certificate?
Right.
Who's lying about this?
Who came up with the nuns' money?
Who did pay for the nuns? Yeah. Maybe the French don't require all this, or maybe the Pope tossed her a little loan.
Little cheddar.
We know she has advanced age. We know that she's, but knowing she's the oldest person in the world, even we are amazed. Well, do you think there's people that are 130? The granddaughter takes care of her. They feed her like she's not. Like the nun's still drinking her wine and eating chocolate. This one, they said, yeah, not so great. They said she's still aware of many things. She talks to us. She sometimes forgets who she is. Now more than often, she's not remembering. Yeah. So.
It's allowed.
I don't know. $800.
That's a lot.
I know. It's like saying getting your star on a Walk of Fame. Mm-hmm. One time, some Walk of Fame, I guess, in Palm Springs, and they said, you know, yo, you've been chosen for a, but I was supposed to give him $10,000.
What?
I don't even go there.
No.
What? I wouldn't pay you to put one in my driveway for that.
No.
Matter of fact, I'd pay you to fix my driveway. That would be fun if you could do that. Okay, this is great. The children are winning.
I love it.
Airbnb won't require most staffers to return to the office ever.
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 I won't go.
I won't do it. I wish my generation had thought of that.
Exactly.
And collectively, we just went, yeah, no. The companies told employees Thursday that they can permanently work remotely and they can relocate anywhere within the country they currently work. That's great. So what I'm saying, people can get out of cities and take over these little tiny towns that were a thing at one time, and the infrastructure's there. Just go live there.
Yeah.
Wow. In a lengthy email to staffers, CEO and co-founder Brian Chesky outlined its new policies and expectations. He noted that the permanent flexibility will allow the company to hire and retain the best people in the world, rather than simply those who are within commuting radiuses around our offices. Airbnb has 6,000 employees globally, with more than 3,000 in the United States. This is great.
Yes.
This is what people, now the bad news is, but this is just change. Like downtown Minneapolis, for instance, my favorite Irish bar,
right.
Because a lot of the Target is headquartered in Minneapolis for you fans of Target.
Love it.
I like Target. A lot of those people weren't coming back into the office, and I don't know about now. This was about a year ago. So people aren't thinking of the trickle-down deal that now the businesses in the downtown area that counted on the lunch crowd and the happy hour crowd, they're not there anymore. So like my favorite Irish bar, I walked over one day, closed. What? But the next day it was open. And I'm like, wow, what's going on? She said, well, now we only open for events, like the Timberwolves were playing in the big arena. So you're going to kill all those downtown businesses.
Yeah.
But that's just part of change. We got to figure out what are you going to do with all that space?
Right.
all these empty office buildings that the children are like, we're not going there. It's sad. It's depressing.
Yeah, I don't like it. I like my
good for
house.
Them. He said the CEOs told staffers to consult with managers ahead of relocating about expectations and added that given the complexities of international moves, we won't be able to support those this year. That's acceptable. Fine. He noted a small number of roles will be required to be in an office on a specific location to perform their core job responsibilities. Okay, understood. You better hope you don't get one of the children in that spot, though, because they're not going to do it.
Nope.
I just think it's this. They've figured it out. But then you think about Google and Facebook, where they built these giant campuses, and here's your beer in a keg, and look, they have Theon volleyball. Oh, there's a ball pit for adults. What the fuck is that? Stop it. But that's to trick the children to saying, hey, it's fun. And it's nerds. Yeah. So God love them.
Yeah.
But even my nerd friends, they wouldn't be interested in all that.
No.
They'd be like, tell me what to do and I'm doing it and I'm leaving.
Right.
Now that people spent all the money. Okay. This. Can we talk about the Alabama fugitives?
Yes.
Oh my God.
You had me wrapped into that.
I was so wrapped into it. And I had a bet going with my brother that they would be caught by Sunday night at midnight. And it was $100 bet plus unlimited beer of the winner's choosing, but within reason. And a bottle of wine, a fancy bottle of wine. Cause I already knew, what I was going to pass off as fancy, even though it's not, I was just going to lie. I already knew that. If I won,
you know, they
if I lost, they were found Monday at like 2 p.m. But Patrick extended the bet. I said double down because I had lost. Well, he was a sucker and he took my bet. I said, give me till next Friday. Because as soon as they said they found the orange car in the woods, this is the story, if you didn't pay attention, about the 56-year-old jailkeeper person, jail cop. She sprung sprung the 6'9", already murdered some people. Like, this is where, ladies, we need to have a meeting. Okay? As a group, we have to stop sleeping with murderers that are already in prison. Okay? Can that be like one of our things at our conference that we vote on?
Right.
And then we go, does this make us look good? Does this make us seem smart or respectable? Maybe if he was like just a weed guy,
right. That's
fine.
Right.
Oh, we got busted with too much weed. No harm, no foul. But this guy's murdered people. Like, she sold her house. It was worth $200,000. She sold it for $90,000. Then went and lived with her mom. So she's got $90,000 running scratch. Now, here's what I don't understand. My Bank of Missouri, God love them. They put limits on me when I'm gambling or anywhere.
Right.
I can get whatever, 500, 1,000 out a day if you need it. I don't know how she got 90,000 out of these banks, even if it was multiple banks.
Right.
It would take forever.
Yeah.
They don't, what are you going to walk up to an ATM and get sick? Whatever. She had cash. She had a car and they made it to Tennessee about literally 2 hours from where I'm sitting. They dumped car, something happened to car number one. It's orange and they tried to spray paint it green. Who? What? This is where I knew they don't. Everybody's like, oh, it was so well planned out. No. Hillbillies plan one thing.
Right.
We're getting out. Now, they did that perfectly, but then there's never the rest of the plan.
Uh-huh.
Or there's visions of, we're going to go be drinking margaritas in Cancun. And then my brother goes, no, because he went to school in Alabama. He goes, no. Cancun's not their future. Florida, baby. Florida. But then they ended up in Evansville, Indiana. And they had a homeless guy check them into a motel.
Right.
There was no plan. There's no relatives up there.
Nope. Caught at a car wash.
Well, he took the car to the car wash, the 6'9" giant.
Mm-hmm.
What is the matter? I mean, right. It's interesting to see the trail of tears, though, of...
Do you think... She committed suicide.
And then Vicky died. Well, they found him at the motel, and the cops gave him a little tiny chase. It wasn't a very exciting chase. It was very short-lived. And then they just bashed him into a ditch, the car that those two were in, and she shot herself. That's what they all say. It's very sad. Because I'm thinking, you know what, this lady, for whatever reason, this guy convinced her that he loved her.
Yep.
And she was willing to ignore, talk about red flags. You have a key to the cell he is in for murdering people.
Right.
That's your first flag.
You think he didn't do it.
But that's sad that somebody's self-esteem would be that messed up that, you know, I don't know though. Do you want to, she should have tried to live though, because the other lady that did this with my favorite actress, what's her name? Escape from Dannemora.
Patricia Arquette.
I love her. That lady was out like in 7 or 10 years. And then I Googled this lady, her charges would have added up to a possibility of 10 at the most.
Really?
Couple other charges thrown in, but they were tiny. She bought a car with an alias, whatever, whatever. And she was a cop.
Yep.
And she was 4 years, employee of the year. 4 years.
Which is why she had the keys.
I just pictured some fat Alabama police chief down there chewing on a toothpick going, I just can't believe Vicky Dunn did this. We're going to get her, though. Who's going to tell her mama? That's such a wonderful church-going woman. I don't want to destroy her hopes and dreams, but this is a bad situation. She, instead of blowing her head off, or maybe he shot her, I don't know, but she could have, she's 56. You'll get maximum 10 years. They'll cut a few off for good behavior. She could be out at 60.
Yeah.
You still have a life.
Yep.
But I guess in that kind of situation, you're so panicked, you're not really thinking, but I don't know. I don't know if he shot her or not. I don't know. Anyway, I was fascinated. It's going to be a wonderful Lifetime movie. It's going to be an ID channel bonanza. It's going to have to be like a 6-parter because we're going to have to start at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Vicky was a widow. She didn't have any kids.
Mm-hmm.
She went and lived with her mom after she sold her house. But her mom said she has no mom. And I don't blame the lady. She has no more comments, but she did never think her daughter would do something like that. Who would think that?
I don't know.
Also, I love how Alabama, the county they were in, they're like, we're going to bring him back down here, and this time he ain't getting out. Okay. Well, he walked out the last time.
That's
walked out.
Yeah, and nobody looked alarmed.
No, and it was real casual. She's still closing doors. He's just wandering around like a feral cat. Nobody's doing anything. All right, moving on. This is crazy to me. A damaged Honus Wagner, the baseball player, damaged Honus Wagner card sells for $1.5286 at an auction.
What?
Uh-huh. A T-2006, I don't know what that means. Honus Wagner card sold for what I just said, $1.5 million basically, Tuesday morning after a 17-day auction. While the intriguing mythology of this card is well documented and extensive, the sale is just another recent wild addition to Wagner's legacy.
Wow.
Yep. This version is missing 3 sides. There's 3 sides gone off the card. And somebody paid $1.5 million for it. Again, what do we do with this? I don't have any friends that will care.
Put it in a Ziploc,
throw it in the junk drawer, and then show people when you get drunk at your house. Hey, did I show you this? Don't touch it. It's already broken.
So awesome.
The auction tallied 75 bids, and the buyer wants to remain anonymous. It had been torn in half. Oh, my God. In February, a Wagner card that had been torn in half sold for $475,000. In that iteration, Wagner's jaw was missing, as most of his torso was. In May of last year, another Wagner card sold for $3.57 million, a then record for the card, and the 5th most ever paid for a sports card.
That's crazy.
Why? I don't know.
Ask the baseball tournaments.
I don't collect things. Collecting is a thing that I don't I don't do it because I don't get it.
Right.
But then some people,
really?
Yeah, this one guy in high school, his mother collected those Beanie Babies.
Oh, no.
And she,
those are crazy.
Yeah. And then when I started doing comedy, they were selling them in airports a lot, right?
Yeah.
So I became obsessed on her behalf. She had the rare ones and she typed out this whole list of the rare Beanie Babies I was supposed to be on guard for in crazy airports. Because most people, I don't know, if you're in an airport, you're not probably hunting for the Beanie Babies. But then one time she's like, do you want to see my collection? I said, okay. Also, her entire house was owls. They're owls. Like even the toilet seat was like an owl head. Like everything was owls. But then she opened up this enormous closet. There had to be
1,000 faces.
I was going to say 500 Beanie Babies, but wow. They were even in like their animal, they were organized by species.
That's
what I don't collect things, so I don't get it, but I do understand a baseball card collection when you're a kid, maybe as an adult. $1.5 million.
That's crazy.
The results from this auction speak to the ever-present and growing demand for Wagner cards, which transcends the hobby.
What did he do?
In any condition. I don't know. He was a super famous baseball player. He's a white man with blackish hair and a part down the middle like an old-timey person.
What's his name?
Honus.
How do you spell that?
H-O-N-U-S. Wagner. He played for Pittsburgh.
He's a manager. Oh, wow.
No, he wasn't just a manager.
He was a shortstop.
He was a shortstop. Yep. For Pittsburgh? I know Pittsburgh. Anybody else?
Mostly Pittsburgh. I don't know. This is a jacked up baseball
club. They're all jacked up. What year did he play? Like 1908 or some shit?
Let me scroll through all the black and white photos. He died in 55, played 21 seasons. 1897.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Why is it so?
Because back then you had to hand paint a baseball card. We didn't have a camera.
Yeah, this man is painted.
That was every time we get new headshots. I think back in the day, like before cameras, I'd have to have a painting and take it with me town to town and put it up somewhere and go, this lady will be here on Friday.
Yeah, she's funny.
Why isn't she laughing in her headshot? Well, she didn't want to look wacky.
No.
See, uh-oh, here we go. Terrifying jumping worms concerning scientists. I'm serious.
Jumping worms.
These days, as the number of items carried back and forth between countries on a daily basis, new species are constantly showing up far from where they originated. Sometimes it's by design, and sometimes it's because a little critter hitched a ride by accident. These are examples where this thing is, there are times it's completely harmless, and there are other times the consequences of introducing a new species into an area can be devastating. In the case of the jumping worms, the answer is something between, even if the thing is a bit off-putting at first glance. It's beyond off-putting. It's gross.
Okay.
They also are called, I don't know, some scientific name. Though they have nicknames like crazy worms or snake worms. They're from East Asia. They've made their way to the United States. They're gross if you see a picture. But they can jump. They are confused with a snake by the way they get around. If you see them, you're supposed to kill them. Well, how am I supposed to know the difference? They don't love them because it has nothing to do with how creepy the scientists. The scientists don't like them. It's because invasive species can have some devastating effects on local wildlife, especially because how they affect the soil. Basically, what happens is it's jumping worms accelerate the decomposition of leafy waste on the forest floor. What typically happens is those leaves and other items decompose and turn into good soil. But when the jumping worms get in, they replace the good soil, which is what is effectively worm poop.
What? Come on.
Yeah. When the jumping worms set up shop in an area, the good soil can go kaput. Who still writes the word kaput in a real article? All right. And this has a critical effect on the understory of the forest. Down chain issues crop with fungi. Now it gets too hard.
Yeah.
They just mess up the soil. Mm-hmm. So they can't hurt you.
Jumping worm shit.
Yeah, they don't hurt people. So, I don't, it doesn't say if they can, but whatever, I will kill it. It says kill them if you see them. No problem. I got it. I got you on that one. I will do it. Okay. So, moving on from the jumping worms, this is not something that I think is appealing.
Okay.
Qantas promises direct flights from Sydney to London and New York.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
No stopping. The first Sydney-London flights will depart in late 2025 and take about 20 hours, making them the longest passenger flight in the world.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm not doing that.
No.
No. The route, launched in 1947, once took 58 hours and seven stops.
Wow. Come on.
There's nowhere I want to go that badly. I just wouldn't do it. It's the last frontier and the final fix for the tyranny of distance, Chief Executive Alan Joyce said in a statement. They've been working on a plan dubbed the Project Sunrise about for about 5 years, but implementation was delayed by COVID-19. In 2016, it began offering direct 17-hour flights between London and Perth. And in 2019, it went from test flights from the East Coast. No, it's too long to be up there.
How many hours?
20.
Yeah, too many.
No stops.
Right.
Like, I don't know, when I flew there, we'd stop somewhere. I forget where. I've been there a couple times, and we stopped. But it was fine. It was also interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me off in this other airport for a couple hours, walk around. It doesn't say how much it would charge for seats in its four classes. Oh, God. Imagine doing it in economy. They have first, business, premium, economy, and economy. Imagine a middle seat from Sydney to London in coach.
No.
Well, I would have to take an enormous amount of sleeping pills, but then I'm afraid I'm drooling on people and laying on people. You can't do that.
No.
Each plane will be able to carry 238 passengers with 40% of the cabin dedicated to premium seating. Seats will be roomier than usual. They will also, you can access a well-being zone in the center of the plane with self-service snack bar and space for stretching and movement to combat the effects of 20 hours in the air. Yeah, how many times are we going to have somebody die on this flight?
Right.
Every hour a year longer, there's a better chance.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm. If anybody does it, let us know. I couldn't do it.
No.
I would start having anxiety before in the... Because, like, okay, let's say you take Tylenol sleepy time. That's a 5 hour out, like a light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's 15 hours left now. So I watch a movie. There's 13 hours. I mean, come on. That's just crazy. This is another one that's crazy. Boris Becker. Now, this for the children. I'm going to help you out.
Nice.
Children. Boris was a German tennis phenom. He won Wimbledon. He won everything for a while there. He was, like, super crazy. And he was stocky. I never, like, most of the tennis players are more
lean
and, you know, like, he looked like he could have been any kind of athlete. Blonde hair. He was gorgeous. Well, he's going to jail for 2.5 years because he hid millions after a 2017 bankruptcy. He filed for bankruptcy. Nobody really says where he spends his money except on stuff.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you had all this money. So he filed for bankruptcy, and then they caught him lying and hiding money from the bankruptcy court.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jailing him, the judge said, the obligation was on you to disclose these assets, but you didn't. I take into account your fall from grace. You've lost your career, reputation, and all your properties. However, you have shown no remorse. He was at Harrods, the fancy store in London, the day before this.
Mm-hmm.
What? Who does that? What is the matter with you? You know somebody's going to take your picture.
Right.
There's the press is following him. While I accept the humiliation you may have felt as a result of these proceedings, there has been no humility. Boris Becker literally has nothing, and there is nothing to show for what's the most glittering of sporting careers. It's nothing short of a tragedy. His fall is not simply a fall from grace. It's a public humiliation of this man. It is a level that no other bankrupt in this country is ever likely to face. These proceedings have destroyed his career. He did.
Right.
He did.
Right.
Not the court. You did it. And totally ended any prospect of earning an income. Oh, there's always a way to make money. Go to the ID channel and tell him you want to tell him a story. They'll buy it. His reputation is in tatters. He'll have to rely on the charity of others. The prosecutor said Becker moved money around and property quickly before it could be disclosed or discovered. He did. I read all about it. He transferred money to various third parties to deprive his official trustees and creditors. The jury decided his actions were deliberate and dishonest. She jailed him for 2 years and 6 months, plus 18 months for each three of the other charges for failing to disclose to run concurrently. He will serve half his sentence, around 15 months. So he's going to be in prison for a year and a few months.
Wow.
Somebody will give him a commercial or something. Come on. Yeah, he had his little Puma duffel bag, and off to prison he went. There wasn't even a thing. He made $38 million. In his career, which also brings us to Papa Phil Mickelson,
mm-hmm.
who has lost apparently $60 million.
Wow.
Yeah, gambling. I told you, there's the only reason you're going to go play with the Saudis is because you need money.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need money, the question is, why do you need money immediately? And why do you need money at all when you've made exactly that amount over your career?
Wow.
He said his first divorce was pricey, Boris Becker. Well, why don't you speak to my Ron White, my friend Ron White? He's managed to not go bankrupt, and he's gotten divorced a lot. This was combined with child maintenance payments. Right. Everybody has to do that, Boris. And expensive lifestyle commitments.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. He forgot to declare a property in his hometown of Lehman, Germany. He hid almost $700,000 in a bank loan and 75,000 shares in a tech firm. He previously had a conviction of tax evasion and attempted tax evasion in 2002. This guy does not like to pay a bill.
No.
No. So now, bye-bye, Boris. That's just crazy. If you're my age, you remember that guy. If you don't, go Google some of his tennis things. Just go look at him. Because I was always like, he just seems stocky.
Yeah.
For tennis.
Stocky
for tennis. All right. We are going to, we're going to wrap this up with this story. Because this is terrifying. And I said to I was with my mom and dad, my sister and stuff. Because I've always had a fear of being buried. I'd rather a Viking funeral, but I think they're illegal. I would rather put my body in a boat and then set it on fire and then launch the boat. Just, it could be a raft. Yep. It doesn't have to be fancy. Because then I'm sure I'm dead. Because I went through a fire and drowning.
Yep.
So because this is my fear. And then I read this to my mom and dad. I go, now, does this change your mind about being buried? They were like, no. We don't live in Peru.
Right.
I'm like, it's not about Peru. Dead woman bangs on coffin to say she's alive during her own funeral.
What? Whoa!
A funeral, first of all, too, online, somewhere, I will find it. An Irish guy put a recording in a coffin, and they were all at the cemetery. And he had his friend had a remote control to hit go. And so as they started lowering the casket, he's like, what are you doing? Let me out. And everybody was like, what the fuck?
This
the looks.
Cool.
Oh, no, it was funny. Because at first everybody was like, oh, my God, they're terrified, right? But then they started realizing it was a joke because he's like, what a beautiful day to be lowered into the dirt. Like he's going on. He had a hole and it was funny. And you know what? Good for him. Everybody laughed. A funeral in Peru was dramatically interrupted after knocking was heard from a coffin. The family of Rosa Isabel Calica had gathered in the city of something, Lambeque, it's the best I can do, to pay their final respects on April 26. She had been involved in a serious crash in the region's something road. The accident claimed the life of her brother-in-law and left her nephews with serious injuries. She had been found dead following the horrific crash and later loaded into a coffin ahead of her funeral. When the relatives hoisted the wooden structure onto their shoulders, they began to hear strange sounds. Then they lowered the coffin and opened the lid to find a weak, but very much alive, Rosa peering up at them.
Wow.
Holy fuck, God.
You've been in a box.
Cemetery caretaker Juan Segundo Cajo said she opened her eyes and was sweating. I immediately went to my office and called the police. Shocked relatives rushed to Rosa, seeing her still in the coffin. Once there, they took her to a hospital. She had weak signs of life and was hooked up to life-supporting machines by medics. But her condition deteriorated, and she tragically died just a few hours later.
Oh!
The family are now, they had to say their farewells twice, are now demanding answers. They have expressed outrage at healthcare bosses that she was declared dead in the first place. Right. We know why my niece reacted yesterday when we were taking her to be buried. We have the videos in which she pushes and touches the coffin.
Oh.
They say she may have been in a coma following the crash, which could explain why she was pronounced dead the first time. They're now investigating to see what happened at the hospital where she was treated, which led to her death. Her three nephews are said to be recovering. Can you imagine, though?
No.
This shit still happens.
Yes.
Sometimes at an open casket funeral, like I'm afraid to go up there because I'm afraid they'll open their eyes.
Yeah, that'd be freaky. You'll never get over that.
I think their eyes might be sewn shut anyway. I don't know if that's true. I've heard that, but that's like things at slumber parties. That's what you hear. I don't know. But I'm always afraid, like, I walk up and it'll just be one of my aunts going, hi.
hey, Kathleen, did you bring the pasta salad?
Yeah. All right, termites. So I'm heading to Alabama.
Boom.
I'm so excited because there's really good golf down there. And a lot of people don't know it, but Huntsville has really good German food because we hired Nazis after World War II to come help with our space program. Mm. And they were not going to eat our bullshit hot dogs nope. and our Alabama barbecue, and they opened their own goddamn German restaurants.
Yeah.
You just would not. When you Google top restaurants in Huntsville, Alabama, that's what comes up.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Good Mexican, too.
Yeah, they have good Mexican. Oh, yeah, that one place I remember. That. Yeah. And then to Denver to do the special. I think there's tickets left for the second show because
yep.
they released some because we only need so many cameras. So those seats got opened up. So if you want to come, Denver Termites, mm-hmm. the second show. And then, I go with Sean Cassidy.
Atlantic City.
Oh, Atlantic City, the Borgata. Wow,
wow, wow.
It's going to be very fun. Lewis might come and play, just hang out. He will not be performing. We would not ask that of him, but we might be playing video poker together.
Ooh.
Yeah, he just gets a little car and runs on down there from New York. It's not a problem. And then my show with Sean Cassidy in Salina, Kansas.
Fun.
Yep, can't wait, my idol. And then Vegas, the Mirage.
Yeah, the Mirage.
And then July is my Canadian makeup date at Niagara Falls.
It's in September.
Yeah. Well, there's something in July. Maybe Lewis is doing it in July. That's what it is. I've confused us.
I think you're off.
August, I have Vegas again, the Mirage again.
Yeah.
So one of these times I'm going to get a winter date in Vegas when it's not. Hey, are you going to the pool? No, I'm sorry. It's 127.
Right, yeah.
I will go. I go down to there's one bar that has misters. Uh-huh. And if I can get a seat at that bar, I will have a beer in the shade
right.
or a margarita and let the misters. But other than that, no, not. It's amazing to me how people can be there all fucking day.
Yes.
How does that heat? Anywho, termites. Be helpful for termites. You're springtime termites now. You're all officially springtime termites.
Almost summer termites.
You're almost summer termites, but not quite. And we're going to have a summer termite shirt. It's going to be long sleeve, though, a boat shirt. Like a boat shirt.
Yeah.
For when it's cool at nighttime and you're sunburned.
Totally sunburned.
Bye.
Have a hat. Anybody want a hat? Trucker hat?
Trucker hat. Paddles wants to make a trucker hat.
Yeah.
They're, it's too hard to mail. The hats are a pain in the ass. How about a pint glass?
Oh, yeah, that's not difficult.
Easier than a hat?
Come on.
Easier than a hat. A hat to mail, you need these boxes that are fucked up. No, I don't agree with that. But if you want to try,
okay.
You know, how am I going to stop you?
Easily.
Our termites, you're almost summer termites. I finally feel like all the cold is gone.
Yes.
Even in up in New York, well, it was rainy and cold that Saturday, but not cold, cold.
No.
Shout out to the Uber driver who got my pants, lifesaver. And they were my favorite pants in my lifetime of black pants.
That's important.
And I spent a lot of money getting them hemmed right. So it would have been very sad if I would have lost those. All right, termites, that's it. I'm off to Alabama. I know you're jealous. And be good. Be good, termites. Kind termites. And that's it.
Sunburned termites.
Wear your sunblock. Yeah. If you'd like to see pictures of my parents, my dad particularly, the holes that he has all over his body from not wearing sunblock. Yeah, now he put it on. We got in the fishing boat. He's like, where's the sunblock? I'm like, now. At 81, you're going to get on that bandwagon. You have holes all over you. You have stitches. And one was in his head, and it took like some. It looked like a golf ball had permeated the hole that was.
Oh.
They dug it out,
uh-huh.
and the hole was like that deep. I mean, like an inch deep in a circle. Like it looked like a Hawaii volcano.
Oh,
yeah, and then there was just this piece of gauze over it. And I said to my mom, what? I didn't know your skin went that deep before you hit a skull. It's very deep on your head. And I said, why didn't they stitch it up? She goes, no, this one has to grow back together on its own. But then he went out to the farm and this is all I hear my mom screaming. If you get bugs in that wound, I'm not doing it. I'm like, this is the most fucked up conversation from educated people. I'm like, dad, double band-aid up. If you're going to you can't have ticks falling in the hole of your head. But they had to go that deep to get the skin cancer. And my dad was never even bald. So I feel very bad for bald guys because like they really need to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Because if it had gone into his head, now you're really dead. That's been years, too. That was like at least 10 years ago. He's fine. It is an uplifting story. It's saying termites wear your sunblock.
Right.
And especially if there's bald termites out there or thin-haired termites, get your hats and get the real ones. Not some bullshit just because you like the hat. There's the UV ray protector hats. They're online. You can find them. Put it in there, especially if you're bald. So for Mother's Day, because I knew I'd see her the week after. I said, Mom, I'm going to take it. There's the fancy grocery store in the Ozarks is Deerberg's. It's in St. Louis too, but she'll never shop there because she thinks it's so expensive. She makes up this fake budget that doesn't exist. And then like, she'll buy grapes, but only like 8. I'm like, get the fucking...
bag of grapes.
They'll just go to waste. I go, maybe, you don't know, maybe one of you will splurge and have more than 4 grapes. It's everything's very tiny.
Yep.
The refrigerator's got a lot of meat in Reynolds wrap. Like, and don't touch that. I'm like, oh, God.
It's gross.
So in Deerberg, she goes, do you know I'm 81 years old and I've never had a Haagen-Dazs ice cream? I said, well, all of your kids make really nice salaries and we all would have bought it for you.
Yeah.
50 years ago. Why didn't you say something? I don't know. I just think about it. I said, well, you're on, this is your game show. Anything you want. You can fill the cart with $1,000 worth of shit, whatever you want. And then I gave her gambling money too. But, so she goes over to the freezer. She goes, I'm doing it. I'm getting it. I said, great. But in her hand, she had Prairie Farms. I'm like, Mom, that's not even what you have your heart set on. Oh, well, can I have this too? Yes, here, again, the premise of this shopping trip is you can have whatever you want because you always say you've always been on a food budget and that dad doesn't give a lot enough for food groceries. And yeah, it's been a thing for 150 years. This is your one chance.
Wow.
Anything you want.
Yep.
And
she did it.
Yeah, and then they thought that me and my sister had left mm-hmm. and we came back in the house.
Mm-hmm.
To hang out with them, and they were both sitting there like little pig children with the whole pint of ice cream in front of them, and they looked like they'd been busted smoking weed. My mom goes, what are you guys doing back? I go, we just came to hang out.
She goes,
we thought you were leaving. We don't have enough ice cream for everybody. I go, I don't want your ice cream. I do not want your ice cream.
I'll take a Bushlight.
You're safe. No, she doesn't have any beer over there either. Oh, she'll go, here's a beer. And it expired like Christmas 2014. I think Matt left it. I'm like, if I bought beer, could you just keep it here? No, it takes too much room in the refrigerator. Yeah. All right, termites, go outside. Be your springtime termite selves. Not termites.